Up the chimney, guarded by Calcifer, had struck her as a good hiding place. But there was nothing there but quantities of soot, which Sophie stored in bags in the yard. The yard was high on her list of hiding places. Every time Hal came in, Michael and Calcifer complained loudly about Sophie. But Hal did not seem to attend, nor did he seem to notice the cleanliness, and nor did he notice that the food closet became very well stocked with cakes and jam and the occasional lettuce. For, as Michael had prophesied, word had gone round Port Haven. People came to the door to look at Sophie. They called her Mrs. Witch in Port Haven and Madam Sorceress in Kingsbury. Word had gone round the capital, too. Though the people who came to the Kingsbury door were better dressed than those in Port Haven, no one in either place liked to call on someone so powerful without an excuse. So Sophie was always having to pause in her work to nod and smile and take in a gift, or to get Michael to put up a quick spell for someone. Some of the gifts were nice things, pictures, strings of shells, and useful aprons. Sophie used the aprons daily and hung the shells and pictures round her cubbyhole under the stairs, which soon began to look very homelike indeed. Sophie knew she would miss this when Hal turned her out. She became more and more afraid that he would. She knew he could not go on ignoring her forever. She cleaned the bathroom next. That took her days, because Hal spent so long in it every day before he went out. As soon as he went, leaving it full of steam and scented spells, Sophie moved in. "Now we'll see about that contract," she muttered at the bath. But her main target was, of course, the shelf of packets, jars and tubes. She took every one of them down on the pretext of scrubbing the shelf, and spent most of a day carefully going through them to see if the ones labelled skin, eyes and hair were in fact pieces of girl. As far as she could tell, they were all just creams and powders and paint. If they once had been girls, then Sophie thought Howell had used the tube for decay on them and rotted them down the wash-basin too thoroughly to recall. But she hoped they were only cosmetics in the packets. She put the things back on the shelf and scrubbed. That night, as she sat aching in the chair, Calcifer grumbled that he had drained one hot spring dry for her. "Where are the hot springs?" Sophie asked. She was curious about everything these days.
"Under the Port Haven marshes, mostly," Calcifer said. "But if you go on like this, I'll have to fetch hot water from the waste. When are you going to stop cleaning and find out how to break my contract?"
"In good time," said Sophie. "How can I get the terms out of Howell if he's never in? Is he always away this much?"
"Only when he's after a lady," Calcifer said.
When the bathroom was clean and gleaming, Sophie scrubbed the stairs and the landing upstairs. Then she moved on into Michael's small front room. Michael, who by this time seemed to be accepting Sophie gloomily as a sort of natural disaster, gave a yell of dismay and pounded upstairs to rescue his most treasured possessions. They were in an old box under his worm-eaten little bed. As he hurried the box protectively away, Sophie glimpsed a blue ribbon and a spun sugar rose in it, on top of what seemed to be letters.
"So, Michael has a sweetheart," she said to herself, as she flung the window open.
It opened into the street in Port Haven, too, and heaved his bedding across the sill to air. Considering how nosy she had lately become, Sophie was rather surprised at herself for not asking Michael who his girl was and how he kept her safe from Howell. She swept such quantities of dust and rubbish from Michael's room that she nearly swamped Calcifer trying to burn it all.
"You'll be the death of me. You're as heartless as Howell," Calcifer choked.
Only his green hair and a blue piece of his long forehead showed. Michael put his precious box in the drawer of the workbench and locked the drawer.
"I wish Howell would listen to us," he said.
Why is this girl taking him so long?
The next day, Sophie tried to start on the backyard, but it was raining in Port Haven that day. Driving against the window and pattering in the chimney, making Calcifer hiss with annoyance. The yard was part of the Port Haven house too, so it was pouring out there when Sophie opened the door. She put her apron over her head and rummaged a little, and before she got too wet, she found a bucket of whitewash and a large paintbrush. She took these indoors and set to work on the walls. She found an old stepladder in the broom cupboard, and she whitewashed the ceiling between the beams, too. It rained for the next 2 days in Port Haven, though when Howell opened the door with the knob green blob down and stepped out onto the hill, the weather there was sunny, with big cloud shadows racing over the heather faster than the castle could move. Sophie whitewashed her cubbyhole, the stairs, the landing, and Michael's room. "What's happened in here?" Howell asked when he came in on the third day. "It seems much lighter."
"Sophie," Michael said in a voice of doom.
"I should have guessed," Howell said as he disappeared into the bathroom. "He noticed," Michael whispered to Calcifer. "The girl must be giving in at last." It was still drizzling in Port Haven the next day. Sophie tied on her headcloth, rolled up her sleeves and girded on her apron. She collected her besom, her bucket and her soap, and as soon as Hal was out of the door, she set off like an elderly avenging angel to clean Hal's bedroom. She had left that until last, for fear of what she would find. She had not even dared peep into it, and that was silly, she thought as she hobbled up the stairs. By now it was clear that Calcifer did all the strong magic in the castle, and Michael did all the hack work, while Hal gadded off catching girls and exploiting the other two, just as Fanny had exploited her. Sophie had never found Hal particularly frightening. Now she felt nothing but contempt. She arrived on the landing and found Hal standing in the doorway of his bedroom. He was leaning lazily on one hand, completely blocking her way.
"No, you don't," he said quite pleasantly. "I want it dirty, thank you."
Sophie gaped at him. "Where did you come from? I saw you go out."
"I meant you to," said Howell.
"You'd done your worst with Calcifer and poor Michael. It stood to reason you'd descend on me today. And whatever Calcifer told you, I am a wizard, you know. Didn't you think I could do magic?" This undermined all Sophie's assumptions. She would have died rather than admit it.
"Everyone knows you're a wizard, young man," she said severely. "But that doesn't alter the fact that your castle is the dirtiest place I've ever been in."
She looked into the room past Howell's dangling blue and silver sleeve. The carpet on the floor was littered like a bird's nest. She glimpsed peeling walls and a shelf full of books, some of them very queer-looking. There was no sign of a pile of gnawed hearts, but those were probably behind or under the huge four-poster bed. Its hangings were grey-white with dust, and they prevented her from seeing what the window looked out onto. Howell swung his sleeve in front of her face.
"Uh-uh. Don't be nosy."
"I'm not being nosy," Sophie protested. "That room..."
"Yes, you are nosy," said Howell. "You're a dreadfully nosy, horribly bossy, appallingly clean old woman. Control yourself. You're victimizing us all."
"But it's a pigsty," said Sophie. "I can't help what I am."
"Yes, you can," said Howell, "and I like my room the way it is. You must admit I have a right to live in a pigsty if I want. Now go downstairs and think of something else to do. Please. I hate quarrelling with people."
There was nothing Sophie could do but hobble away with her bucket clanking by her side. She was a little shaken,
and very surprised that Howl had not thrown her out of the castle on the spot. But since he had not, she thought of the next thing that needed doing at once. She opened the door beside the stairs, found the drizzle had almost stopped, and sallied out into the yard, where she began vigorously sorting through piles of dripping rubbish.